Desperate people fled their homelands, leaving nearly everything behind. Naomi gave them a small token of dignity and worth. She sat on the ground with small pieces of paper and some artistic ability and acknowledged these refugees as individual people. The portraits told them they were seen, and they mattered enough for someone to take the time to draw them. Naomi began the trip unsure of how her gifts and abilities would or could be utilized. Willing to try something new, she engaged in something outside her comfort zone. But she had always loved to draw, and that ability enabled her to make a unique contribution in the refugee camp. What had previously been a time-killing hobby became a powerful way to convey love and connect across language and culture. Through this experience, Naomi will forever view drawing portraits differently. In Desiring the Kingdom, Worship, Worldview, and Cultural Formation, author James K.A. Smith proposed the idea that the places we inhabit, and our habits in those places, shape our desires, which in turn shape our loves. To illustrate the point, Smith used a popular Western shopping mall analogy, observing that the more one spends time in a mall, a place, the more one desires the things in that mall, goods to buy. You didn't know you needed a new shirt or shoes until you walked past four stores in the mall with models wearing said shirt or shoes. Likewise, the places where you spent your time, intentionally or unintentionally, growing up, likely shaped you significantly. Did you grow up in a city or the country? What was your school known for? Did you go on a missions trip like Naomi? Did you spend a significant amount of time in church or at camp? Did your childhood friends have one or two favorite places where you spent time together? Did you play sports and spend significant time on a field or court? What did you notice as you drove or walked the same streets day in and day out growing up? Where did your family gather? Each of these places conveyed messages that told you what was important, what was right or wrong, and how you should act. Nearly every experience and place in our past that comes to mind included people. We all had mentors, teachers, coaches, key friends, and important family members who shaped us in profound ways. They may have been a constant presence during a formative time, or they may have told us the one right thing at the right time. What people, places, and experiences have shaped you? And maybe more importantly, how have they shaped you? It's important to take a deeper look at how the people, places, and experiences in your life might be shaping your desires and expectations. Just like Smith's mall analogy, the more time you spend examining the past, the more you'll recognize how people, places, and experiences have shaped your desires and expectations in life. Jess and I have found in our research that people, places, and experiences have the greatest influence on 20-somethings and their sense of vocation. Bursting bubbles. Stephen looked at us, looked down at his paper, and looked back at us. Then he placed his head in his hands and groaned, "All my bubbles are about to pop!" He had just finished an exercise Jess and I often lead 20-somethings through where they map out all the places, both literal and figurative, that make up their present lives. Terms can get confusing here, so a definition would be helpful. Places are the environments we inhabit in such a way that they have meaning. These contexts can be geographic places, like churches, schools, etc., or abstract places, such as a